This is the second, starting on the second roll of tape on this trip
down to
Big Delta Roof.
Jimmy McDonald and his nice little Cadillac automobile, and Steve and Frank and myself. And we just prepared to go fishing on the previous end of the previous reel so we don't get lost in the story.
Well, as I said before, if we can just get a hold of this trailer while you boys are invited, if you'd like to put a day in there and take along a nice little lunch and have a nice time.
They're talking about Frank McGarvey.
He had a nice specialist work on him. They got a new
deal out for this glaucoma that was blinding him, and he's got pretty good, not pretty good, but he can see a bit. Oh, yeah, he can get out of the hotel by himself.
Oh, wonderful.
Even cross streets, you know.
Oh, that's wonderful.
Yeah.
We're now at the entrance to the Big Delta Bridge. There's some repairs being made on it. They have one lane traffic here. This is the big old steel bridge that was put in to replace the old ferry. We can see the trestle from part of the old ferry down there.
Yeah.
Now we're crossing the bridge.
And, Mount Hayes, they call it.
There's Mount Hayes we can see over there. This is supposed to be a game preserve over here, starting in just a little ways from here. That Mount Hayes
over here.
Mount Hayes Game Preserve. Yeah, over this way, this high peak. You can see it over here in the clouds.
Yeah, that's that high peak on the stream. Yeah.
And that new snow, this year's snow, has surely moved down the mountain.
There and land, see, Jimmy, we can see that in town there. It looks like it's right out in front of us. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
On a clear day.
We're here getting very close to John Hajdukovic's home.
Let's go on up to Big D first, then come back, huh?
Well, Jimmy wants to go on up to Big Delta before we go in and visit with Johnny.
I think it'll be dinner.
Okay.
Show Steve Big D. You know where Tommy, what's his name?
Tommy Wilson?
Yeah.
Yeah, he's right here. It's just a little right
there. For drink
it's Tommy, right up here, just
a
little
way. He's like she's with for me.
Mm-hmm.
And when he comes up and he'll...
She used to be a musician, too. She used to play the piano.
Piano player.
Mm-hmm. She used to play some of the Roadhouse nightclubs.
Who was that?
Tom Wilson's wife.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. I like that.
They had that baby, and
yeah,
they've lived down here ever since.
Yeah. I've been here once, 2 years ago, on my way back from that beach.
It used to be follow the name of Forbes had a roadhouse here one time. The old green building, one of them still standing. It used to be the post office, the big... yes, right
where
here. Here's Wright Burns, yeah.
Oh, you got that wrong.
Well, what is his
that
name then?
Jack Warren.
Warren, I'm right.
He's right.
Jack Warren.
I know, down where there was no Forbes.
No, it's Warren.
That's right. Jack Warren.
Yeah.
Right.
And here's Wilson's place right here. This
Which
is it.
One?
Right here.
This
one? Yeah.
I thought he owned this one up here with the cabins.
No, it's this one. Right down the road.
No, that's that one back there.
Get her coming back. Yeah.
Okay. We just passed old Tom Wilson's place. And there's some nice new houses up here, but I see signs for sale, which don't look good. Everything's for sale.
My oldest daughter, his name is Johnson. You know him?
Well, this is what I thought was Wilson.
Well, maybe this is with the cabin.
Well, God damn it, why do you make this?
Yeah, Tom, sure it is. Tom's name
why
on the place.
Why the hell do you make them statements about back there?
Well,
this is Tom Wilson.
Yeah.
No,
he's got an old Cadillac sitting out there. You need some parts for this car, Jimmy?
Boy, I know what I do need parts for. That guy in the back seat.
Here's another beautiful cabin here along the road. I seen this one being built when they was building the highway up here, paving the highway.
There's a new one.
Mm, that's new garage they're putting on it. Man, his wife worked on that thing night and day when I went by. I'd see him working all hours. Now we've moved on down here to almost to Big Delta Basin. We stopped and took about 10 or 12 exposures of the geese going south here.
Crane, rather.
And we're looking out of the car here, driving along by the old FAA control offices by Big Delta Base. We can see Donnelly Dome and the snow on the mountains and the Big Delta River over here in the distance. We got a pretty good driver in this car here. Only he's looking for a buffalo. Do you suppose we'll see one? Well, I couldn't see. I've seen a good many of them up and down here in years gone by, but of late these buffalo seem to be out of this locality. Well, we thought we saw something go across the road up here. Was hoping we'd see the buffalo. And we turned around up. We turned around up here on the road past the military monument, the road to Bowling Lake, I believe they call it, where we caught those trout the other day. There's a truck coming out of there now, military truck. They have some kind of military installation back in there.
Say, Jimmy, would you mind stopping down here and we see what this deal is? Were the public's allowed in there, or what the devil?
Well, it's about 2.5 miles back to this lake. And it was loaded with trout. It was overloaded, so they had no limit in there.
Well, I don't want to go in there.
I just asked Jimmy if he had an altimeter on this vehicle of his, or this automobile, and he said it's 830 feet. And I asked him how he knew. He said he just went up and asked the cranes.
Let's go over.
We finally got down here to John Hajdukovich's and Rika Wallen's, and they're asking where the goats were. Well, I just seen the goats. We're now in John Hajdukovich's house here, and Steve and Frank Young are talking to John here, and they're just getting acquainted again after all these years. Jimmy's sitting over on the sidelines here, kibitzing.
Major walks right in up to Captain Black and told him, he says, "This kind of a man you got, what is your body?" He says, "I was on the stick there, went by them 2 times and they didn't salute me." "How the hell," he says, "you expect to salute you? They haven't saluted me, and I know them for so many years."
That's the vintage chicken out here.
Oh, know? Yes.
Yeah. Mm. That's the lake just the other side of Bob McCombs there, between McCombs and Lassen Field.
Yeah, huh?
Yeah. And that's Governor Egan there talking at the land fair, state fair in Fairbanks.
Oh, yeah.
And this is the governor in Dixie Hall.
How's Dixie?
Oh, he's all right. He's doing a little politicking, you know.
Well, it's just about time.
And that's the governor and the queen.
Festival queen.
Oh,
festival
yeah.
Queen in there. There's Dixie and my sister. And, well, I'm cut off there, but. This is a picture here in Fairbanks, isn't it?
Yeah, that's one of the girls who works over
what
there.
What is this? Is that in Dawson?
No, Fairgrounds.
Fairgrounds.
Oh, here, yeah. Oh, yeah.
That's here, too.
That's Mrs. Bianchi, and one of the waitresses works down there, Golden Days.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Where was this area? Yeah,
that's Mrs. Nordale taking right at 2nd and Cushman.
Oh, yeah.
This is Ernie of the Nordelly's daughter.
Ernie Lee and Ingrid Lee.
And this is Harry here and an old timer down the river by the name of Norman Hadley. He used to play baseball in the old town of Chena in 1904.
You don't remember him?
Oh, what was his place? You mean on the tunnel?
Yeah, on the tunnel.
How far?
The one
8 miles down from the old village.
Yeah. Norman Hadley's name is. Old timer, you might have known him.
Oh, yes.
83.
One of the sunset pictures. Where is that, Harry?
That's taken on the Tina, right in town.
Oh.
And this, I took this next picture at the same time. I turned the other way and the sky was red, so I took it.
Yeah. Who are these old timers?
Larsons that were married in 1912 in the old Nordale Hotel on the river. They come back. They've been married just 50 years.
What was his first name?
Ida and, what was it, John?
Was he mining someplace?
Yeah, he mined in the early days. He put that story on tape. We have it put away.
Well, there's Kay Reed and his wife, and who else?
This is Harrison. It's an odd name. He's from Nome. He mined from 1899 to 1915 in the Nome area Irving was surveying over there.
Mm-hmm.
That's Frank Young's roses.
Oh, yeah.
They put them down by my house one morning. I went out and took a picture.
This fellow was here not too long ago.
Yeah.
I met him. He's a fine man. He's
now that's fishing in this Bolio Lake out here.
In Washington.
Oh, yeah.
We went out and got his name.
Know, that's not the real name, Bolio Lake.
Well, that's what it says, B-O-L-I-O on
it. Now, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Used to be Beals Lake.
Beaver's Lake?
Beals.
Yeah, Beals Cash was over near there.
You know, Beals, he's the man who, Captain Beals put up the telegraph line from here at Tanana River to the head of Big Delta.
Yeah.
In 1906.
Yeah.
And that was his half of a cache between Big Delta and the Donnelly's.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That's why he called it Bill's Cache. And he hauled the logs around the lake. It was lots of big logs there. And he hauled the telegraph poles from there to a telegraph line and swamped the trail. He had a bunch of mules pulling the...
That's Billy. Billy the little Greek?
Oh, yeah.
He's looking those girls over. They got an old-fashioned bathing suit on.
Oh, yeah.
He was a Greek. Let's see the Billy the Greek.
And this is
Sigwald.
Sigwald?
Oh, that. Yeah, this is Billy the Greek.
Oh, yes.
And this is the riverboat there in town.
Jim Binkley.
Yeah.
Discovery.
There's Harry here catching fish.
I got mixed in the fish down on the Tanana River.
What is the red you got around?
Well, that's the life preserver. That's where life preserver.
We never used to do that.
No, but they do now.
Well, they
this is Mrs. Arlene Darling. She's a painter there in town.
Oh, yes.
This was when the governor come up to Dawson here just last month to dedicate the old Orpheum Theater, you know, that was remodeled and refurbished and what have you. This is
where'd you get this one? Pardon me for interrupting.
I got that in Dawson.
This is the governor. This is the president of Yukon Order Pioneers, and that's myself there. And this is Commissioner Campbell. He's the
Cameron.
He's got on civilian clothes there. He's head of the government in Yukon Territory now, the new man.
Oh, yeah.
And the one behind him with the bald head is Innes Taylor.
I know him. This is the
pilot of the Canadian plane, and Mrs. Egan stand behind him.
I met Taylor at Eagle.
He'll be over at Eagle. They're going back to Eagle now for the winter.
Oh, yeah. That was time I was scouting a route from Eagle to McKinsey.
Hmm.
That's Pete Smith.
He's a miner over there in Pedro Gulch, over close by to Pedro. I went over and took a picture of him working in his mine.
Oh, yeah.
This is my boat, and that's one of my boys, myself, and the youngest boy. That's a pretty picture, isn't it, John? The
pretty
boat?
Picture, yes,
yeah.
It is.
Look at this one of it, and that's it. everything looks, oh, excuse me, looks very nice. The trees and everything, you know. I don't know these people.
This is Jack Butterworth and Andy Wicken. We're saying goodbye to the people of Dawson. We went around town.
Oh, yeah.
Shake hands with everybody and tell them goodbye when we're leaving.
Huh. Well, that's first pretty nice. I'm glad you had a good trip.
I'm going to show him Tory Anderson's mine now.
Say, just a minute, Jerry. Would you care if we asked you a few questions, John, on this for the records of the pioneers of Alaska?
Now we're going to start to ask John some questions here. Frank Young is going to question John for the Pioneer Igloo 4 records in regard to some of his early life. Just off-the-cuff comments for the benefit of the pioneers.
John, when did you first come to the country here, the Yukon or Alaska?
Oh, in Alaska, I came to Juneau in the fall of 1903. I left the old country in May and landed in Juneau in November.
And from Juneau?
And from Juneau, we left Juneau on the 4th of July, 1904, and to Dawson, and I worked for a while in Dawson. From there, we left on a steamer down the Yukon to the mouth of Tanano and up Tanano to Fairbanks.
Well, when you first arrived, John, there was quite a thriving little town of Chena down at the mouth of the...
Well, our boat, I think it was Cudahy's name.
Cudahy.
Yeah, the Cudahy.
Yeah. And they got stuck on a bar about 10 miles below Chena, near the lower. And, of course, they told us that they might take a day or more to get off that bar. So he couldn't wait. We have to go to Fairbanks. So he walked to Chena. Mm-hmm. There was quite a few people there then.
In Fairbanks?
No, in
Chena, yeah.
And then from there we walked to town.
Well, in Fairbanks at that time, John, there wasn't too many people or prospectors, was there?
Well,
1904. Approximately how many? You wouldn't know?
No. I don't remember.
No.
We got to town and stayed there overnight. I think it was a big tent. They have a little building here. Canvas bunks. And each bunk had a blanket. And I think it was a half a gunny sake for the pillow. I'm almost sure on that.
That's good.
For a nice warm place, because it was a big stove, lots of wood, and he was keeping that pretty warm. Didn't need no blanket. And from there we left for Clare, if you want to see the gold. That was very important. But the boat got in a couple of days later.
You remember the name of that boat?
Cudahy.
Cudahy, oh yeah. Well, John, in those days, did you stake yourself on any mining property in around Clary or the locality of Fairbanks?
No. No, we didn't stake.
But you did you did some prospecting around that locality?
Oh, we left in the fall for Wood River.
Oh, for Wood River, yeah.
And we had to, it was, we couldn't follow the Bonnefield Trail because it was no snow on the ground, but we followed the ice. We went to Chena and from there to the mouth of Little Clear Creek. It's someplace down below. And we followed the Clear Creek up to Bonnefield Trail again, and from there got across to Wood River. We didn't have much of a pulling by the neck, three of us, and we didn't have much of an outfit. Before we left Fairbanks, there was a fella, Billy Radovich, was it? You remember Steve? Used to be in Fairbanks. Bill.
Yeah.
Bill. He was a hunter and all of that. And he was getting outfit.
I guess you have something about it. That's all he did, hunt.
Yeah, that's all.
Yeah.
And he asked, where are you going? Going to Wood River. And you want to take a big outfit? Oh, well, he says, you don't need no outfit. It's just a salt. Well, you get the guns. take plenty of ammunition. It's a lot of game. You don't have to have much of an outfit. But I changed my mind after that. I always took to the glove law, just the same.
Well, John, you knew some of the early day characters and prospectors and miners of the camp, that is the Fairbanks. You knew Sam Bonifield, didn't you?
Oh, yes. Sam. He was in the bank.
That's right, yeah. And Sam was over, they named that country for Sam over there, didn't they, the Bonifield?
Yeah.
And I'm going to ask you, how come this Gold King, where did it get its name from?
Well, no, I used to know that, but I forgot that. Forgot. We went to prospect on to the head of Wood River. And of course we needed a meat, and two boys that was with me, I forgot their names, old country fellows. They went over to get a sheep, and I baked some bread. No stove and no oven. But I built a big fire on the sandbank, and I looked all over the bar, and I got a flat rock, pretty good size one, or probably 7-8 inches thick, a size of a gold pan. A little bigger, and I throw it right on top of the fire, and I kept that fire for a long time, and finally I have to find out whether, now I want to bake some bread, you see, that was going to be my oven, and I mixed the dough, and I had to try the rock, but it was right, if it's black, it's not ready. But when the dough gets brown, when you put a little dough on the rock, then it's time to get the bread and put it on. Then I scratch the fire all around, take all the coal off, and ashes, only hot sand. I dug a hole into that sand, lay the rock flat, mix some, of course I had this fixed before, flour, baking powder, for instance. Or just like bread, you know, mix it thick. Laid it in a cloth, got the cloth wet, squeeze the water out, but leave it damp, not altogether out, and then lay it flat, and lay this dough on it, flatten it out a little bit, cover the rag all over it, and lay it on the flat rock, and cover it with sand. In about, in a short time, begin to swell up, you know.
His bread is coming up.
Yeah. And about 40 minutes later, I took the sand off and pulled the bread out and took the rag slowly right off, took the bread clean, and I shaked the dust out of the rag, and I used it once more after that. The same rag.
It was nice bread, was it?
Good bread, oh yes, pretty good.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's good. Well, John, you, from the early days on down to the present time, you did a lot of prospecting in and around the interior here, especially in the Tanana region up in this vicinity here, from Big Delta on up and around.
Yeah.
And you did a little guiding in your time, have you?
Yeah, from 1923 until 1931, I guided a few hunters from New York and Boston and other places. But after that, I didn't want to guide anymore. I quit that. Although I think I was the best paid guide in Alaska.
Well, John, I've heard a little bit on that story. Now, we don't want to get into your own personal affairs, but I heard that once upon a time that you was really one of the high-priced guides. If you'd like to tell us a little part of that story, why, for a matter of Pioneer Record, we'd appreciate it.
Well, there's a couple of millionaires. Remember that time when George was cool?
Oh, yes. Well, I had, yes. I first had Mr. Beach, William and Beach, from New York. He wrote to me quite often before that.
Excuse me, I've heard of this Beach now. Just who was he, John? He was from the New York millionaire, wasn't he?
Oh, yes. He was the president of the Portland Cement Company.
Oh, yeah.
I'm pretty sure that was the name of it. And finally, he come up in 1923, and I took him up, him and Dr. Elting, on a hunt along the range. Then after that, he's the one, I didn't have to ask for no, he done the advertising, Beach. So the next time, next year, I got somebody else and so on, but in 1927, Mr. H. Wendell Endicott from Boston, he come up, and in 1929, there was a Mr. Malincourt from St. Louis. He was on the hunt there, but he was, and pretty near all of them, was more interested in taking pictures and looking the country over than it was to kill the game, you know. They was all wealthy men. Of course, I tried my best to give me good service. Some of those young fellas, of course, they wanted the game, they got the game over. Some wasn't looking for much game. Picture was what they wanted.
Well, John, you said you was one of the high-priced guides of that time, of that era. What I'm getting at was, the story was that one of those gentlemen at that time had grubstaked you or some such a deal. That's the story. God, never grubstaked you, but they give you a good salary, is that it?
Oh, yeah, lots of money.
Lots of money. That's what we want to find out. That's what he's asking about. Said you was the highest priced guide in Alaska.
Sometime when we used to through with a trip, they was paid big price, you know. And then 5,000-6,000 maybe more. In addition to that, the rest of it, you know. But we used to go out during the day and the afternoon times to go back. And we had saddle horses waiting for us at the timber line, you know. Now I get them all started to go back to the camp. So how about you? Oh, Mr. Endicott says, oh, you know, he's just starting now. He got to finish. He got to see a few rocks before he go, before he go back to the camp. Yeah.
Yeah, well, John, you've been with the country and you're still doing little prospecting.
Oh, yes, I'm just starting now.
how old are you, John?
I'll be in 83 on the 15th of November.
83?
But I'm good for 20 miles yet today.
Well, that's good.
Johnny's got another creek and mountain to discover that you dream about, and you just about know where to find that when he gets good with the body. Another quick. Right, John?
Oh, yes.
Well, John, it's been nice talking to you and getting this little information for the benefit of the future generation that's going to come along to know some of these stories of the old-timer that's went through these parts of the country and blazed the trail and tried to develop this country. And on behalf of Eagle Number 4, Pioneers of Alaska, we thank you very much.
That's fine. Sometime in the future, I'll give you a little more than that.
Well, that'll be nice. Anything.
But takes a time.
John,
do you want to ask him
enough
anything?
To tell from now to Christmas, but you can't get back there now.
No, I know it. No.
How many horses did you have, John, and...
25
oh,
head.
I'll say 19, about 1932.
Oh, I quit 1931 guiding. I had 25 head of horses then.
I remember one night coming up here, and you had just come in, and you had two men and their two sons. And old Slim was on the ferry over here, remember? What was that guy's name?
Louis Grimshaw.
And there was something the matter, and we couldn't cross, so we stayed here to eat. And the kids were up the river, and they had a lot of pistols. And they had the natives hired, and they were throwing tin cans in the water. And we walked into the roadhouse over there. And one of these guys had been in New York or someplace, and he got some telegrams. And the telegrams, as long as they'd been up, these telegrams were coming. So they opened them up, and they'd been playing the stock market then. And the goddamn stock market had been going up. And these guys, two or three days while they were out hunting, they'd made $2,000 or $3,000 on the stock market. But by God, a Marion Ralph was driving. They had a couple of Art Anderson's Chandler cars, and they turned around and gave them all the guns and pistols that night, gave all them things away there before they went back into Fairbanks.
Well, that that's where Billy Holmes, they used to call it. They used to call him Selmore Chief, backwards spelling Holmes, you know. All three for his offers, you know.
Yeah.
They were close friends with Jimmy Walker in New York, you know.
Oh, the mayor.
Oh, yes. And it was pretty tough out in the hills, you know. They wouldn't go out hunt. They stay there. Ann and I begin to say to them, say, it's too late to get up at 11 o'clock for breakfast. You have to try to. He says, we need to come over here to offer. They'll say, all right, it's up to you. But they got the game just to stay, and they had a good time.
How about that? They've got a little bit of the most fun. Make a two. Just leave that. You know what
I mean? I can't do that. But if I were to visit a bunch of pioneers, not stop someplace in there. I would tell it, yeah. Don't
take a little more of a taxi
and let's hear the story. Who decided to breed the Mythic Sea Cognac?
That's from Steve.
I know, but who?
Steve says, by golly, if there's anything that guy would like, it'd be some attraction.
Well, my daughter's getting down on here, so I'm going to shut this off.
All right, you better do that.
No, we've left John Hajdukovic's and Rika Wallen, and I took a couple of pictures by the door. Let's hope they're good, and we're on our way back down towards Richardson Roadhouse now, and the time is 3:08 in the afternoon. That's the end of John Hajdukovic's trip. In summary, Frank Young went home first, and then Jimmy McDonald brought me home and unloaded the car. And Steve Bajornich from the Model Cafe, we let him off down at the cafe. And then Jimmy McDonald brought me home, and then I put my things away, and that's the end of this trip for today. The tail end of it was not too clear because the battery was getting weak on the recorder.
Mickey McKenna. Harry?
Yes.
Sure. Well, Mickey McKenna was a bartender. Real wise guy. No. Kind of a nice guy, but a numb-nut. He was from...
Well, he's an Australian.
Yeah. He was standing one night, and he was one of them yak-yak-yak-yak-yakers all the time, and always telling about the things he did in Australia. Oh, Tom. You ever listen to that program on the air, Janet, where this guy recites this? What the hell did they call that Reuben Gaines' program? From Anchorage now?
I've listened to Reuben Gaines. He's recited.
Long-winded, himself. Yeah. All right, that Reuben Gaines. That's the guy, see? So Reuben Gaines was there. Prose, they call it, don't they?
Prose.
So Reuben Gaines. Tom, they set this up. So some of us stayed there to listen to this, the after effects. The barge spoke. All at once the phone rang. Mickey's in one of these big displays of storytelling and one thing and another like that. And all at once the phone rings. These two guys are up in KFAR station pulling this off. And they said, Mr. McKenna,
yes.
Have you been listening to the radio? No, sir. Radio was on, but you couldn't hear anything with him talking. Well, we just pulled your name out of a hat. We got a contest going on here. We just pulled your name out of a hat, and you have to answer a question in order to win the prize. He said, John, what's the prize? So he said, just a minute. He said, I'm just going to drop a drink, put a drink down. So he turned to everybody in the joint. He says, goddamn, they're having a contest up at KFAR. And he said, now, if I can answer the question. So he said, when the question comes over the air, I'll give it to you guys. And anybody's got the answer, he says, tell me, and I'll win $64. They said, all right. Now, everybody keep quiet. All right, everybody kept quiet. And the guy says, now, here is the question. Are you ready for the question? Yes, sir. Well, here is the question. What is the name of the horse that the masked man uses?
The Lone Ranger?
The Lone Ranger, that's it. What is it? Some guy says, I owe Sue. And he got all excited and he hollered into the deal. He said, I got it for the $64. The name of the horse was Silver. I owe Silver. And that guy, Reuben Gaines, on the other end says, right you are. Right you are, and we will deliver this 64 bags of horse manure to you in 15 minutes. I can see that Mickey McKenna dropping that phone, yes. He turned. For Jimmy.
everybody started to give him a horse laugh there, see? I got it was a long, long time before he lived up and died. 64, back to horseman. Did you ever hear Mickey and Bob tell about his early life when he got married? How they come to be in the interior of Alaska?
Mickey and Bob.
Yeah, Bob McKenna. They called Mrs. McKenna Mickey for many years also. You knew that.
Oh, yeah.
They came as... They worked for the steamship. Alaska Steamship Company, yeah, and he was a bookkeeper for them. Then he worked a while on the Alaska Railroad. Seward.
They were from Juneau.
Juneau, yeah. They come up to Seward.
I don't mean that McKenna.
I know you don't. That's a different McKenna.
Whatever happened to the bartender?
Well, he was up here last winter for about 2 weeks, and he left. I understand he's...
Went to Australia?
I understand he's on the needle. Funny bunch. We've had some real characters come in this country though, in the years gone by, but you never think to make a memorandum of it or record it or anything, and it's gone with the wind.
Now look at that road way over on that side of the hill. See it over there?
Mm-hmm. You can see it from here.
That's not the road we're going on.
No. We haven't seen the buffalo yet.
They're out in the woods again. I'm on the roadside today.
This was just a little conversation on this trip up around Donnelly and Big Delta. Jimmy McDonald and Mrs. Thomas and Harry Hughes. And we're looking at the scenery. There's Delta out there. There's a little snow way down on the hills there.
A big old country.
Oh. There's a very low hanging clouds here. This is September the 26th today, I believe, isn't it? 25th?
Mother. 25th. 25th
today. And milepost 2:41 from Valdez right at this moment. And the time right now is 12:40 p.m. Well, we stopped here at the old Donnelly Roadhouse. And Jimmy, what did you say about this place?
I said you're a magpie.
No, that ain't what you said. Who built this roadhouse? You was talking about who was here.
You were right there listening.
Well, I want you to get it on this rigmarole. You don't mind your fingers on that match.
I don't know who the heck though.
You don't?
Not this one.
Well, anyhow, we stopped and had coffee and sandwich and pie. We're on our way back towards Fairbanks. We got Jimmy in such a confusion there.
Anybody around there knows where it's at, huh?
Oh, yeah.
Jimmy
here is in such a confusion, he calls us backseat drivers because we keep still. He's almost got a franchise to drive on this highway. Maybe they'll give him a bus license.
I'm not so sure I don't own it now.
He's got a good interest in it.
This is exactly six times.
What we're actually doing is looking for old Matt Hermanson's cabin. And he didn't believe me. It's down here opposite John Hydukovich is on the opposite side of the road. And he's going clear back for you to Big Delta to try to find this cabin. He's trying to get connected with one of these big utes that's running up and down here.
Get yourself there together.
I tell you, I've never seen an old-timer, as long as he's been in this country,
afraid to go down the trail someplace to see if he can find something. He stays on the pavement, he rides in the Cadillac, and he drives like an engineer on the railroad. If he just had a brakeman and a conductor, he'd be all complete. Well, now, the time is 3:30, and we've been stopped here at Matt Hermanson's old home on the Big Delta Tamnaw River here at the junction below the bridge, and this is known as Bridgeview Subdivision, originally the Brown Homestead, and it's the property line is very close to his building. The road is on the neighbor's property here, and it's the neighbor's property, Duncan, adjoining it is Lot 7, Block 1, and their patent number was 12944. No. It was 138974 on page 129, book 129, page 44, recorded in Fairbanks Recording District, Bridgeview Subdivision. So I'll let Joe Lawler know what I found out for him.
Well, it's a nice little spot.
Now we've driven across the Richardson Highway here to Rika Wallen's old roadhouse when the ferry used to be in here on the Tamnaw River, and taking three or four exposures around here of pictures. And Jimmy's been showing Mrs. Thomas around the old diggings here.